Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There is a really, really good Third Man Record story coming up in this episode.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, this is a fun. There's a lot of laughing in this episode. I got along pretty well with these two dudes from Preoccupations. Matt, who is the songwriter, main guy, also a bassist frontman, which is really cool.
I love that.
Yeah. And Scott Monroe, who plays a synth and guitar in Preoccupations. And
nice.
They play the opening of Jack's Detroit Third Man Store, which was when he did that I'm going to launch a vinyl record into space, or
yep,
at least the atmosphere, and set some record for the highest there's ever been a turntable playing a record.
Oh, yeah.
They were the band that played that.
That's actually really fascinating. I'm sure they talk about how they were picked for that high honor.
They don't talk about that, but they talk about what they did the day of that and what they did the evening of that show.
Ooh.
They had a good time for themselves.
Did they get to meet Mr. White?
Yeah, they met Jack White.
Okay, cool. I remember one time I went to his store in Nashville, and after like 2 hours of looking at everything in there, I finally had the nerve to be like, is he here? To one of the people working, and she was like, oh yeah, he's here. And I was like, do you think he'll like
he's
come
always,
in the
he's
store?
He's always among us.
One of those answers.
He's just like a cult leader.
I mean, kind of.
Nah, they actually, they say that they were just hanging out there, and as soon as Jack left for the day, the two employees they were around just started smoking weed.
Were they too nervous to do it while he was there?
What if Jack White's just a huge narc? I think he'd be cool with that.
Secret life of Jack White. Yeah, that's funny that they would wait around.
So anyway, tell me, should introduce you, Lindsay Havens.
Yes, hello.
A recurring return person for those who've been keeping up with the podcast. Shout out what you've been doing for Billboard lately. Jack White things and non-Jack White related.
Let's see. Right now I'm working on a really fun piece with Run the Jewels, who are this year's Record Store Day ambassadors. Record Store Day is something I'm a huge fan of. I've been participating in for a while. And I think it makes a ton of sense that they're the ambassadors this year. So that will hopefully go up in early April. Record Store Day, I think, is April 20-something. It's the last Saturday in April. I know that. And
Did you get to interview them?
I did.
They're the best interview.
I know. So Jamie LP, he's
Did you call him Jamie?
Yeah. Obviously. he's super talkative, especially when you're talking to him about something he's really passionate about, like vinyl. So that was awesome. And then, you know, Killer Mike comes in the call like 20 minutes later and he's like, sup, it's Killer Mike. Just like, cool, let's like backtrack the questions, dude. But they like feed off of each other really well. And then, wow, that's really the only thing I could think of. I've been very deeply ingrained in the magazine world.
And shout out your social so that people can find you.
So my social is at Lindsay Alana. I spell my name a little differently, Lyndsey. Alana. I only have Twitter. You can only find me there. That's about all I have to say.
Hell yeah. So we got this chat I had with Preoccupations coming up. Shout out their album real quick. This is their third album. It's awesome. If you're into post-punk, maybe stuff like Savages, Ice Age for more recent stuff, or older things like even New Order or The Cure, if that's what you're into, think you'll be feeling this record. We don't spend a ton of time dissecting the tunes. We spend actually more time making jokes about them and joking about a lot of other things. But Yeah, like some little bit of backstory with Preoccupations. They made their first album under the name Viet Cong and got a lot of good attention for the album. Then there was a controversy around the name. We don't really get into that in the podcast. I feel like it's just kind of past the point of that at this time. You can Google it if you need to get up to speed. But that controversy kind of distracted from their second album, which was still good, but they seem really excited that finally now on the third one, people are kind of past that and focusing on the music again. And that's awesome. Definitely. Because I'm really into this record and I enjoy this talk with Preoccupations. So coming up is that conversation and playing you into it. This is a track off the new album called Espionage.
That's good.
So this album.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Right.
We are at Billboard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fucking awesome album. I really like it. One thing that really drew me into it was the producer you worked with, Justin Meldel Johnson.
Meldel Johnson?
Justin
Meldel Johnson. JMJ.
We'll go. I've heard JMJ a lot, and we'll go with that. He's one of my favorite producers, and I do not know how to properly say his name.
Right.
So. Apologies, but yeah, I'm a huge fan of what he's done with like Wolf Alice and Paramore and M83.
Oh,
lately.
Right. We met those Wolf Alice people at.
Did we?
Yeah, at that Pappy and Harriet's show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's done a lot of good stuff. He mixed the record and it was honestly great. It was great working with him, it was super easy. Just like sent him all this stuff, and then he.
Mm-hmm. As far as that goes, that was it though. I mean, he mixed it. He basically did the tedious shit and ironed it out, and we weren't really present for any of it. But he didn't produce it.
Okay, did you guys self-produce?
We self-produced this one, and he just mixed it. I would work with him as a producer maybe in some facet in the future, but this one we ended up recording and producing everything ourselves.
Yeah, just in collaborating with him in general, I thought it was really interesting because for him it was probably stepping a little bit outside what he's been working with lately. You guys are probably more along the spectrum of punk and experimental stuff.
Yeah.
And some stuff from his background is along those lines, but these days most of what he's working with is more in the alt pop realm.
That seems to be the case, and he came to us as a fan, and then kind of talking to him about his influences, like he draws from a lot of the same things. I think he's ended up in the bands that he's been in and producing the bands that he's produced because he's like in the LA scene, and there's not a lot of like experimental post-punk going on in LA, you know, but that's I think kind of his major realm of influence when it comes to producing and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Seems like it, talking to him, but now he's working on like Metric or something, you know?
Oh yeah, is it Metric? Yeah, he's totally working on some, I think it is.
But we are definitely kind of out of his box when you look at the other stuff that he's working on.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah, tell me more about that conversation when he talked about his influences, maybe like why was he so drawn to you guys?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. He really like he approached us wanting to produce the record, and we were kind of. I think if he'd maybe come to us earlier, if we'd started the record later, then maybe we would have tried working with him in that facet too. But we were kind of already about halfway done by the time he talked to us, and so then we were just like, "Well, it's like mostly done. Like, do you want to mix the record maybe?" And he was like, "Yeah, okay, cool, I'll mix it." And then, and then that was kind of it. Like, it just kind of worked out where it was like we had a, like, we were just, like, trying to get the record done. Like, I went to Montreal for 6 weeks, and we had a studio there, and then we recorded a bunch of stuff in, like, a cabin in Montana for a month and that kind of stuff. But then, so we were kind of, like, figuring out what we were doing and, like, you know, like, partway done. And then it basically came up where, like, we had a week off after a show in Mexico, and then
it just
works between shows, and it was like that week was the one window that he had to mix it to, and mm-hmm. so then we were just like, oh, okay, well, we'll just get it finished by then, and then we'll go to LA and mix the record there and just get it done.
But
so,
he, I don't know, I think our manager maybe hooked that up or like set it up, but he definitely came to us, and I don't know, he was an interesting enough dude, but we really didn't honestly spend very much time with him.
Sure.
It was fairly hands off. We went into the mixing studio a couple of times just to see how it was going and have final listens to the mixes. But
yeah, beyond, I went in one other day too, because there was some like stuff that I'd done in one.
And we borrowed some microphones from them because we were literally waiting till the very very last minute before mixes to finish vocals and stuff. Mm-hmm. I was finishing vocals in the Airbnb in LA. And yeah, we'd send him the mix the next day, and then that's what's on the record now, you know?
Yeah, we recorded a bunch of stuff in Mexico in the hotel, too. Like, we were just, like, scrambling to get it done. Like that Antidote song, like, we made almost entirely in the Airbnb in L.A. the day before they mixed it. Like, we literally just had the drums. And then I knew what the vocals were.
I had melodies, but I didn't have final lyrics or anything. It was definitely a bit of a scramble.
When
it came down to it, just because we had that studio time booked with Justin, and previous to that, we were kind of working at our own pace. We started in January and like recorded in, I don't know, 10 different places. Like it was very scattered and not very. There wasn't a track that we were on, I guess.
Sure. Yeah, with Antidote, that's really neat what you say about it, because I like in writing down my favorite moments, especially like production-wise on the album, I really liked kind of that garbled vocal effect towards the end of the song.
Totally, yeah. Justin did a good thing with that one.
He did the Crimson and Clover effect.
Yeah,
it's like a trem thing or something.
Yeah, and just like squashed it with some kind of like bit crusher or something. Yeah, they did good. There was yeah, that song was a bit of a scramble. It's pretty. I had one sampler and my live keyboard rig at the Airbnb, and then it was just like.
And we borrowed a really nice microphone from them, but then our monitors were like a Karman Carden Bluetooth speaker.
Bluetooth speaker. The monitors, yeah. Our studio monitors.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was a pretty funny session.
That was also sick, I think.
Oh, yeah, right. We took a day off and went to Universal Studios too. Rode the Jurassic Park water ride, which was pretty fucking rad. And then the best one actually was the...
Harry Potter was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, Harry Potter was fantastic. Like, good classic, like, Universal Studios, like, in a like flying around in a chair.
Oh, yeah, I did this exact trip, like, 2 summers ago. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about here.
And then the Mummy, that backwards roller coaster. Not the Mummy, it was the... Oh, yeah, the Mummy. That was, like, the super fast.
It's a little bit older, the ride. It's, like, from when the Brendan Fraser film came out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The classic... Best incarnation of the Mummy ever, the Brennan Fraser
100%,
one.
Yeah, exactly. No disrespect to the Scorpion King.
Well, yeah. No disrespect to The Rock, obviously not.
No, never.
And the soundtrack from Scorpion King with I Stand Alone, Godsmack.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know your band's going to be great when you name it after an Alice in Chains song. You know, it's like, I think that that's like a recipe for longevity and success.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
Yes, it is.
So when you guys recorded your last album, you were like nameless in that period, right?
For the Preoccupations record?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were nameless for all of the recording of that record, essentially.
Yeah, and kind of half of the tour, like halfway through the Viet Cong self-titled record cycle, we were kind of nameless too. Halfway through, it was like we weren't billing ourselves as that anymore, and it was odd.
Yeah. What is it like recording an album again with a name?
This one... I feel like it's better now because that's not the focus. I kind of feel like the last record got overshadowed by all the controversy and the name change, and like the music was never spoken of on the last record at all, which is maybe because it sucks. I have no idea. I'm not a music critic, but I feel like it kind of got overshadowed, and this time people are listening and talking about the music and asking about the music more, it seems like, which is great, because that's why we do it. We don't, you know, the name really doesn't have anything to do with it for us, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, though, like, the name Preoccupations, do you think it at all just came out of the sound of the music that you had made when you were in that nameless period, that it was just kind of a fit with that?
No, it was kind of more by... It was by default. We had, you know, a list of names, and half of them were taken. Like, you go onto AllMusic, and it's like any random thing that you could say right now, just randomly off the top of your head, look it up on AllMusic, and a band exists that's recorded music.
Sure. Yeah, and especially, like, if when you're like, naming a band for the first time, it doesn't maybe matter if there was, like, a... If there's like a 50s band that had the same name that put out like one single or something like that, you know, you can sort of just like ignore a bunch of stuff like that. Whereas when we're renaming it and then
under public scrutiny, also.
Yeah, like so people, and then on like a like at that point too, like on a proper record label and like all that kind of stuff, like it had to be like something that legitimately hadn't been used before.
Sure.
You know, and so we had like, lists of like hundreds of names, and then we sort of narrowed them down to five that we thought were good that we could deal with, and then Preoccupations was literally the only one on that list that wasn't already a band name.
Oh, what were the ones that were taken?
I can't remember what the other ones were on the final five.
Godsmack.
Yeah, Godsmack. Taken.
The Offspring.
Taken.
Yeah.
Godsmack, Stain, Breaking Benjamin.
Yeah.
Creed was taken. Yeah. I wanted to be called Creed.
Yeah.
No, it was kind of just by default. We really didn't. I mean, we put millions of hours of thought into the band name, but we also kind of put no thought into it in the end. It was like we built it up to be this thing, and at the end, it was just kind of like, okay, we'll call it this.
Yeah.
You guys are fine with that? Okay. That was it.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's a good feeling to be on the other side of that and just have weathered that, and to just, it seems like a new mindset now, and like you were saying, people just more engaged with the music this time around.
Hopefully. I mean, people like having something to talk about, especially journalists, when there's some, you know, degree of controversy or something, then of course you're going to scoop that up, because otherwise we're just playing music and it's boring. It's like we're in the studio and we're working with a guy, but like it is kind of just boring. So anytime there's any level of controversy or something beyond just the music, of course you would focus on that. I mean, I would probably too.
Yeah, and like controversies aside, I do feel like a lot of time artists just have legitimate reasons to be bummed out with the press cycle game, because there's sort of like maybe with a debut album, there's a certain narrative there, a certain sort of hype associated with that. Maybe with a sophomore album where it's like, the second statement, like coming back, responding to that. But when it gets to be like third and fourth and fifth album cycles, I think a lot of times the press feels it has to latch on to something sexy. Mm-hmm. And if that's not there and it's just like a good album, it sometimes just gets kind of shuffled aside.
It's not enough, yeah. It's odd. I mean, I don't listen to a lot of new music. I don't really keep... I don't know. I'm not keeping tabs on new music or reading new press or anything like that, so I don't really know exactly how it's going, but I feel like you got to be grasping at shit for sure. And definitely, when they're giving you a one sheet, they want to make it, like, dramatic, even if it's not necessarily. It's
sure.
Like, and I feel like a lot of, like, big records over the past few years have, you know, they've got a story behind them for sure.
Mm-hmm.
If there's no story, then, yeah, it maybe gets kind of tossed by the wayside, but anyways.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What about in just making the music itself and working like guitar music, working in punk or like genres associated with that? Is it ever sort of a challenge thing? Like, wow, a lot of this stuff has been written before. Like, what can we do to be interesting?
I feel like we've...
That's a constant, maybe not a struggle, but it's definitely constantly something that we're thinking of. We're trying to kind of get out of the box for sure. But we're also drawing from things that already exist and...
Everybody is, though.
Yeah, in any art form, that's going to be the case. But
I feel like the more records we make, the less... Like, there's less guitars on every record, I feel like. Like, on this record, even, I feel like there's only maybe two songs with guitars on them.
Yeah, it's gotten weirder.
And the same on the Preoccupations record, there's, like... I think I only played guitar in one song on that record. And then it was all just keyboards and samplers.
That's interesting, because I felt like on your earlier albums, making guitars sound like other instruments was a big thing for you guys. Mm-hmm. So I'm sort of just expecting the guitars to not really sound like guitars anyway. So right. It's cool to hear now that there really aren't any guitars.
Yeah,
There's guitars on there.
Yeah. No, there's still some guitars, but I don't know. It's definitely been...
We've gotten a little different stuff. We've definitely been getting out of the box more. I feel like this record is kind of a better... I don't know, statement of us in the studio than any of the other ones have been, though. This was definitely, like, our most full-on, you know, experimental, no-constraints kind of record. Like, we didn't have any deadlines or anything up until the end.
Yeah, plus it was nice to work on it on our own, too. Like, we did the first EP on our own, and then some of the stuff for the first record and about maybe, like, a third of the Preoccupations record... We worked on our own, but it was nice to just, like, go in with the idea that we were just going to record it all ourselves and just, like, do it, you know? And so, I don't know, it took a lot longer because of that, I think, because you're not ever, like, there was never a point where we were like, oh, like, when we were working with Graham, there was always like, okay, like, we got to get stuff done. Like, we'd be in the studio, like, we'd rent a studio. And like,
we've got 2 weeks and we've got an engineer that we're, you know, essentially paying by the hour.
Yeah,
and this time around, we didn't have any of that. We didn't have anyone asking us to make a record. We didn't even know what kind of record we wanted to make. We didn't have songs before we went into the studio. It was very much a product of us just kind of tinkering around.
Sure.
Yeah, and especially like the first sessions we did were like, we did good on the first sessions. We recorded most of the drums, but we were in Montana for a month. And then sometimes we'd just like we'd like work for a couple days and then we'd like... You know, like watch that Metallica documentary and get super drunk and then get up the next day and just be like, let's go to McDonald's and see the new Shyamalan movie. You know, it was just like a lot of that. We're like, and then we just like take a couple days where we just like sleep through a few days.
Do nothing. Like, it was very chilled out, which was nice. And we actually did end up getting a lot done, but it just different vibes than, you know, paying for a professional studio by the hour and having an engineer. It was kind of completely on our own terms.
Yeah.
But some of it was recorded in a cabin in the woods,
that's
which I
cool.
feel like is a cool
that's
story.
That's cool, what you put on the press one sheet. That's a cool, fun thing. I mean, well, it was, Montana sounds awesome.
It was, but then I feel like Bon Iver did the cabin in the woods.
This was Wisconsin, though. You took it a step. You got more further out.
Montana, I would say, is more remote than Wisconsin, even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You won up
not as
Justin
good,
Vernon.
Not
yeah,
as
I
good
mean, which
several times.
You know, going into this as my profession, I've just always known that I've wanted to be one upping Justin Vernon. That's like kind of my number one goal.
Bon. Yeah. Just want to one up Bon. That's my goal.
We interviewed Rick Ross a few years back for a story about for the Kanye West album for Dark Twisted Fantasy, because Justin Vernon collaborated on that album, and we interviewed Rick Ross. and he was he thought his actual first name was Bond. He was just like, yeah, we were just like in the studio smoking all this weed. Then there's just this guy with this
Bond shows
beautiful
up.
Voice. I never heard this guy, Bond.
Yeah, that's so good. Oh, it makes me happy. Bond. Yeah, I know Bond.
Yeah.
First name basis.
That's cool. Rick Ross, what? No, I don't know. I really don't know anything about Bond.
No, me neither. I've never met him.
I've heard some of the songs and they're whatever, yeah. Pretty bland.
It's nice.
No. No.
No. No. No. Yeah.
He's a label mate. We should
trash talk.
Shout out Jag Jaguar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's shout. Darius, if you're listening. Fuck you, man.
We hate Bond. All the records you guys put out suck.
Including ours. Everything you've ever been told is a lie. The move from empty rooms. It's living in the
So going forward, what is on your minds? What's exciting about this album coming out?
We've been off for 6 months and starting to get a little stir crazy. So getting back on the road seems pretty appealing right now. Whereas in the past, it maybe hasn't been as much because we were playing 200 shows a year. But we haven't worked since
September,
basically. Okay, yeah. So it's
I toured in the middle there with my buddy Chad Van Galen, and then moved.
Yeah, I mean we've kind of kept busy, but I think for the most part it's everyone's kind of raring to go get the show on the road.
I know whenever I saw Danny was in Montreal last week for a day, like him and his girlfriend went to somewhere in northern Quebec for a vacation, and then Danny was in Montreal and he was I think getting pretty antsy.
Oh yeah, you can tell.
Danny gets pretty funny when he's antsy. I feel like he's spent the last 6 months just smoking weed and watching Pauly Shore movies at his house all day. Or what's another classic Danny movie? Oh, I watched
Air Bud. Air Bud 2.
Air Bud 2.
Air Bud 2, Golden Receiver.
Yeah, Golden Receiver, yeah.
Or is that Seventh Inning Fetch?
Yeah. Oh, man, that's amazing. Or what was the other... Oh, yeah, Buckaroo Banzai. Buckaroo Banzai. You ever see Buckaroo Banzai?
No, I haven't.
That's classic, though. But
Buckaroo Banzai is amazing.
Danny has Danny's our guitar player / keyboardist. Little squirrely dude. And he's got my Netflix account password. So, and he's on there more than I am because I use my girlfriend's mostly. But the odd time I go on my one, and I've seen what he's been watching. You can see recently,
yeah.
And it's always just the lowest brow shit,
the Ernest movies.
Yes, exactly. He loves the Ernest movies.
Oh yeah, those are some of his favorite.
Just terrible, and constantly. I feel like he watches a lot of movies, but. Anyways, yes, raring to go.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I think of you guys as a road band. I've heard they played 200-something shows last year, and it seems right.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of... And it does turn into a slog at some point. By the end of the tour last year, I was kind of hitting a wall. But
oh yeah, I was fully prepared to commit suicide.
Yeah,
but that was. I was just waiting for the thing. Every day I'd get up and I was just this could be the day.
Yeah, what's gonna happen to me today? That's gonna push me right over the edge.
Yeah,
but that was the culmination of the previous 4 years, and we went hard, very hard. So having 6 months off, I think has been, for all intents and purposes, pretty good for our brains and bodies.
Oh, yeah.
But definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Feeling fresh and ready to get back to it. Ready to get back to the suicide tipping point, you know?
Yeah, exactly. We got to push ourselves to the edge once again. Yeah, it'll be good, though. The tours aren't as crazy this time either. I think we do 6 weeks in North America, but it's a bunch of more than one day in cities. So we'll have an Airbnb and not have to get up and drive
every day. Which I had the idea of maybe, and we'll see how it works, but rather than playing one big show, just doing like three nights in smaller rooms, and then actually spending three nights in a city and just leaving your stuff on stage. And I feel like
we're so excited about it.
Yeah, I feel like we play better in smaller rooms. That's kind of more our style, and I like the interaction. I like, you know, I like a packed 200-person room rather than playing to 1,000 people or whatever. It's it's not as personal, and I feel like that's, you know, we get into it, and I think end up playing better in smaller rooms. So that's the idea for this next tour. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, one story from the road I would love to hear you guys tell.
Okay.
What was it like playing the Third Man Record Store opening?
Oh, God.
For Jack White in Detroit.
We got there. We had to get there in the morning. We went and... So we were playing like while they launched... They were trying to set the record for the furthest away from the Earth that a record had ever been played. And so they got real NASA scientists to build a fucking satellite weather balloon that they then sent up into the air, and we played music while the weather balloon was going up until it popped, and then the record started playing and it fell back down to the Earth. And
which we thought was live. But then we went into the backstage and they had the satellite in the backstage.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell is this? And Jack White was back there, and the NASA scientist, who we ended up talking to and was, of course, like a rocket scientist, like the biggest nerd I've ever talked to in my entire life. And then as soon as everyone left the room, me and Wallace were left with the satellite, and we picked it up, and we were just thrashing it, banging it against the walls. Like
we got pretty rowdy that day. And then we...
I fell asleep. I passed out in a parking lot at one point.
Yeah, we got kind of drunk, and then we went... like, because it was like 11 in the morning, and we were just like, okay, like we need to like drink some tequila or something to just like get pumped enough to play the show at 12:30. And so we... So then like by 7 p.m., we're all just drunk. and we went to this like rad Chinese restaurant where I ate like a full like fried fish that was so delicious. And then Flagel at one point just gets up and he's like, I'll be right back. And then like maybe like 20 minutes later, one of the waiters comes up and he's like,
Is that your friend?
Yeah, he's like, I think your buddy's passed out in the parking lot. And so Wallace went and tossed Matt in an Uber.
What do you remember of this night?
I remember up until that point. I also remember Jack White was doing like a speech for the thing, and I made like a pretty terrible joke that I yelled. I'm not gonna repeat right now. But it was very.
I don't think Jack White listens to this podcast.
It's not something I'm gonna repeat.
But we were in that state of mind, basically. Yeah.
But they were, honestly, it was really nice. It was nice. Like he like showed us around the like they bought Ace Mastering, I think, or they like bought somebody's mastering studio like properly, and then they're building like a record pressing plant. As far as like meeting like a proper rock star, and then like seeing what they've like put their money into, I was honestly pretty impressed with that place. It was like a pretty cool zone.
He's definitely championing music still, and I totally respect that.
Yeah,
like he's. He's a rock star, but he's, you know, he's putting money and his name back into the shit. He's not like, I don't know.
I also just remember too that maybe at like 3 or 4 in the afternoon or whatever, we're just like hanging out in the back. Like the backstage was just like there in their like office section of the back of the record store. And then like at one point, like somebody ran in and was like, Jack just left, and then two people just started smoking weed. Yeah, I don't know. I love Detroit though; it's such a cool city.
Yeah, I love Detroit.
There's like
too.
Such good stuff going on there, and
yeah, we've got good buddies there. It's a very chilled out place. It's definitely got its own thing that doesn't really exist anywhere else. It's you can basically do whatever you want anywhere. And people aren't really going to put up much of a stink, I don't think, because there's, you know, they've got bigger fish to fry.
Fully lawless. There's no, like, there's no anything. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite places I've ever been. I would move to Detroit in a second.
Yeah. I feel like it's going to be one of those ones in 20 years, though, that is, you know, it's going to be completely changed.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like everyone's kind of, people are starting to flock there because... You can buy a house for $50,000, you know?
Yeah, or you can just, like, get a building and then have nobody ever ask you any questions about what you're doing there. Like, sure. No one will ever come by and see it. You could realistically have a building. Like, there's, like, when we were, we went to our friend Chris's studio, and which is often where we stay there, and he's our old sound guy, and, like, his street is, like, has his studio and this rad bike shop and, like, a wicked cocktail bar and a barbecue place, and then you literally, like, get in the car and to drive to Third Man Records, and it's like you drive for like 20 minutes through like abandoned insanity, and then you just get to this other street that has the same kind of stuff. It had like Third Man Records and this microbrewery and like a cool restaurant, and then that's it though. There's not even like two blocks of stuff. It's just like somebody built something cool here, and then now it's like
they build things like around that.
Yeah,
sure.
It's like little pockets of stuff are kind of spreading out, but then it's like seriously, like all around Third Man Records for blocks in every direction is just like abandoned warehouses.
You could have had some fun if you wandered outside of that Chinese restaurant parking lot.
Mm.
Yeah.
You couldn't make it any further than the parking lot.
No.
I just needed to nap, you know? Sometimes you get that, you are overcome with exhaustion.
And Flegel just like passed out in a Detroit parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
I still had my phone and my wallet at the end of the night, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So plenty to look forward to on tour this time. Part two of that when you go through Detroit.
That's right.
It's all happening.
Yeah, it's all happening. Yeah.
It'll be
watch out,
it'll be
Detroit.
Good. Detroit's always a bit of a mess. It's you know,
we have pretty fun good there, for sure.
Yeah, got some good friends there. That Proto Martyr band is like pretty good buddies too.
Oh, okay, cool.
We've played a few shows with them, but we're always always hanging out with them. Their bass player Scott has like a he lives like I feel like his mom bought a second house at one point, and then she just moved into the second house, and so he lives at his mom's old house by himself, and then he bought two pinball machines, and then he fucking won two more pinball machines in two separate raffles, and so it's like he's got like the most like teched out, like it's like what you when you're like 14 or 12.
When I grow up, I'm going to have it.
It's like, I have my pinball house. Yeah, exactly. I have my playhouse. Yeah. My drinking with my friend's house.
Yeah, it's totally like, oh man, that's totally, totally his place. It's so hilarious. Yeah. But yeah, then, yeah, I think tour will be good. I don't know what specifically I'm looking forward to. I'm actually looking forward to go to Europe again, actually. We're doing two Europe tours in June and July. And I find that those ones usually are just
slightly better.
Yeah, usually slightly better. We do a little better there, and
yeah, people care about us more over there a little bit. I think.
I think so too.
And it feels good when people care.
Yeah, of course it does. You know.
No, it's just different.
Well, you found a little paperclip.
Yes, I did.
You lucky boy.
People care. It's a good feeling. Is there anything else you guys want to touch on? Talked about a lot of fun stuff. Anything else?
We didn't talk about any of the unfun stuff. We can get there.
What's the unfun stuff?
No. We already went there also.
Yeah, the album, it's called New Material, March 23rd.
Oh, yeah, we named it New Material. I'm so happy about that. What a stupid name for an album.
Yeah, thank you so much to Matt and Scott for coming along. New Material, yes, that's what they named it. That's the name of the new Preoccupations. It is out March 23rd on Jag Jaguar and on a label called Flemish Eye in Canada. They're from Calgary. We got to rep the Canadian label. And we'll be back, Alternative Facts Podcast. We'll be back next Thursday to get it automatically subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Hashtag Alternative Facts, all one word. That's the name of the show. While you're there, give us a star rating, helps a lot. And even more important than that, just let us know what you think. Write in some feedback. Tell us what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to see more of. All that sort of thing. And you can find me on Twitter at CPayne on a plane. Chris Payne is my name. Find me on there. I'm always dropping little hints about what's coming up with the show. And I actually just said something about next week's guest, who I'm very, very excited about. Return guest, a New York rock legend coming back to the podcast next week. I'm excited. Anyway, yeah, we'll be back next Thursday. Have a good week, guys. Peace out.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.